Yes, which I know you like it when we have a different language, like Aramaic sometimes,
Okay.
but sorry,
Plain Hebrew.
just plain Hebrew.
Okay.
So we were introduced a little bit to Samson last week, Shimshon, and now we're getting to know him a little bit. And we called the series this summer the Flawed Leaders, and this is
Very
where. And this is where we begin to have a problem. So, Perak Yudalev Pasuk Aleph, Vayered Shimshon Timnasa, Vayar Isha B'Timnasa Mibnos Plishtim. So he goes to the city of Timnah and he sees a young lady there who is a Philistine woman. Vayal Vayagir La'aviv V'Le'imo Vayomer Isha Ra'isi B'Timnasa Mibnos Plishtim Ve'Atak Chuos Ali La'isha. I saw this nice Philistine woman. I'd like to marry her. Had his parents, this is a Nazir.
This is a nice Jewish word. We've had that problem ever since. Is this where it started,
So,
Rabbi?
I don't know. Vayomer lo aviv ki. So his father says, not one nice Jewish girl you could find. Right? Not the one nice Jew you go. He said, no, this is what I want. This is what I am interested in. Now his parents didn't realize that what?
No, Bashert.
This is his bashert. So this so
Wait, are you serious when you just said that?
what? Well, I mean, what do the words
What did
mean?
they realize? What didn't they realize?
This was all God's plan.
Right? Very odd. So again, if I at the end, right? So would you say him marrying this Philistine woman, good idea or bad idea?
Not a bad idea.
Well, okay, so it's machlokes between you and the pasuk here. Because the pasuk says what? Ki mehashemi. What? It says that by Mechiras Yosef? He says afterwards, yeah, don't worry about it, etc. But the Chumash didn't say it at the time. No, Yosef says it later. So, that's obviously what, now, without ruining the story too much for everybody here, Shimshon and his relationships with non-Jewish women is a major issue, and therefore we're going to very much have to try to understand it. On the one hand, Shimshon is a shofet, right? He is a leader of the Jewish people. He is a nazir from before the time he was born. Right, we said that Yaakov Avinu saw him and thought that he was potentially the Mashiach. So for him to be interested in non-Jewish women doesn't really fit in well with the story.
Not a good narrative.
Okay, I mean, we're still reading it to this day, so it can't be that bad. What? Correct, correct. But when Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed was saying over what's going to be in the days to come, right? The Midrash tells us that he saw Shimshon and he thought, ah, that's going to be the Mashiach. Well, only afterwards, when they told him that that the Mashiach has to come from Yehuda, did he realize, okay, it's probably not him. But other than that, he thought, this is the man we're looking for. Let's take a look at a few of the side points, and then we'll get to the main point. We start with the Gemara in Sota. Says number one, Vayered Shimshon Timnasa, and Shimshon went down to Timnah. So where
Way
would,
down.
what?
Way down.
So where would it be located? Would be someplace. However, back in Bereishis says, "Hinei Chamicha Ole Timnasa," but Yehuda also ends up in Timnah. And it says he's going up to Timnah. So how could that be? Rabbi Elazar Shimshon Shenisgana Bo Ksiv Beyerida. Yehuda Shenisala Bo Ksiv Be'Aliyah. Said it's not a matter of geography, it's a matter of what are they gaining here. Right here, for overall, this story, Yehuda and Tamar ends up being a net positive. Shimshon and this woman, not so much. Shmuel Bar Nachmei Nomer Shtei Timnos Halyu. Shmuel Bar Nachmei says, no, it's geography. There's just two places named Timna. Chad B'Yerida, Chad B'Aliyah. One of them is in a lower place, one's in a higher place. Rapop Omer Chad B'Timnos Ahavi. He said, there is only one Timna. However, it's on the side of a mountain. The Asi Mahai Gisa Yerida, the Asi Mahai Gisa Aliyah. If you come from one side, you have to go up. You come from the other side, you go down. So again, that's the question about this place called Timna. A minor point. Now, this is an important statement. I assume we're all familiar with the story of Samson. What happens to the Samson in the end? Right, not your dog, no. I understand the confusion. Right, he had been caught, and what did they do to him when they caught him? They poked his eyes out. They blinded him. So that's a serious punishment. So the Gemara tells us, Tana Rabbanan Shimshon be'ein of Marad. Samson rebelled using his eyes. He was looking for love in all the wrong places. Shinemar vayomer Shimshon el aviv oso kachi kihi yasho be'einai. Because he says, I want to marry this Philistine woman. For that, his punishment was he got his eyes poked out. So, based on this source, his interest in the Philistine woman, was it a good thing or a bad thing? Clearly it was a bad thing because he was punished for it in a very significant way. Right? So it seems from here that it is in fact not a good thing. So the question is, you know, who is this Shmuel guy? Good guy, bad guy, etc. Let's skip to number 5. It says, "Vayomer Shmuel el ha'am, Hashem asher asa es Moshe ves Aaron, va'omer yishach es Yerubal es Bedan ves Yiftach ves Shmuel." So when Shmuel is giving his final speech to the people, he said, "God who has sent you Moshe and Aaron, who sent you Yerubal, Bedan, and Yiftach and Shmuel." So he lists 6 different leaders. 3 of them were 3 of our greatest leaders, Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel. The other 3, Yiftach, Bedan, who's Bedan, who comes from Dan, Shimshon, and who's Yerubal, also known as Gidon. Very good, right? Gidon, how is he? What? Also, not great. He makes it into this one. So we list here 3 of the greatest and 3 of the not greatest. So it says, Yerubal ze Gidon, Rama nikra shmo Yerubal, Shasim Riven Baal, Bedan ze Shimshon, Rama nikra shmo Bedan, the Asim Yidon, Yiftach, Kimashmo, that's what he said. Rama Moshe v'Aaron v'kodno v'shmo v'kore shmo, Shokal akosav shlosha kalma ovum k'shlosha chamure olam. So we list off 3 of the lightest with 3 of the heaviest. 3 of the heaviest hitters with 3 of the lightest hitters. Omach, Yerubal Bedoro, Kimosha Bedoro. To teach us that we have to treat our leaders with respect, whether they're deserving or not. Right? If Gidon in his generation should be treated like Moshe in his generation. Bedon Bedoro, Ka'aron Bedoro. When Shimshon in his generation should be treated the same respect as Aaron in his generation. Yiftach Bedoro, Kishmuel Bedoro. Yiftach in his generation should be treated like Shmuel in his generation. Even if the person is the least deserving person in the world, if they are chosen to be the leader, we have to treat them with respect. So again, I don't know if this just applies to Jewish leaders, might even apply to leaders of countries where we might be living in. So even if I would not be so happy with the current president, or if someone else would not be happy with the last president, the idea is that the position deserves respect. Even if the individual on their own, if you know, even if you wouldn't want the person to be your son-in-law, still, that is the idea. Now, what about the rancid food?
No, this isn't a rancid.
Okay.
But the question is, when we are in countries where the leaders are really evil or bad,
so that's different. Right.
Then
that's...
We're not near them anyway. Really.
Right. Well, that's a question. You know, the Hitlers of the world.
Yeah,
that's the one to them. So, the reason I bring down the source is, according to this source, Shimshon, good guy or not so good? Not so good, right? They put him on the list of the three bottom. Right, he wasn't...
In his door, you treat him like...
right, but the idea still being that they did list him as at the bottom. So we have here an issue, right? We're trying to get a feel for who Shimshon is. On the one hand, we have the Navi. Seems to be defending what he says. Ki me Hashem, because God, this was God's plan. On the other hand, you know, we see these sources which indicate not that way. Now, first and foremost, you can't marry a non-Jewish woman, right? So, from the get-go, you know, how do we get around that? So the Rambam has a little bit of a longer yes.
Is it by any chance a foreshadowing?
Well, again, he married her. It is what it is. It
right,
seems that it actually happened. This isn't the parable.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? So the Rambam tells us as follows. Now, the Rambam is a halachic work, the Yad HaChazaka, but he takes a little bit of a step to the side to teach us halacha through the story of Shimshon. He said, Al yara al datcha she-Shimshon ha-Moshias Yisrael. Don't think Shimshon, who is the savior of the Jewish people, O Shlomo HaMelech, Yisrael Shnikri Yedid Hashem, or Shlomo HaMelech, who's considered a beloved to Hashem, Nasu Nashim Nachrios Begiyusim. Don't think that they went and they married non-Jewish women. Elosod HaDavar Kachu. This is the secret. Okay, Marshi, you tell me, not going to tell anybody. Shem Mitzvah HaNechonek Shiyavo HaGer or Giyaris Chizkaya Bot Genachar Shem Begal Mamon Shiyito O Bishil Sarara Shiyizkelo O Mnei Apachim Bavo Yichayitz Chadas. If someone comes to convert, you have to try to figure out why are they converting. Is it that they read the Elders of Zion? They think all the Jews are very wealthy, so they want to get in on it, right? Is that maybe what it is? Or maybe they think they can get a better job if they're Jewish, right? Or maybe they believe that that Jews are going to beat them up if they're not Jewish. If it's a man, maybe he's going to marry a nice Jewish girl. And in the event it's a woman, maybe she's doing it to get married. Etc. So before anyone does any of the converts, we first make sure they're doing it for the right reason. The implication being, if they're not doing it for the right reason, we're not going to convert them. That's what the Rambam seems to be saying. Right? Therefore, he goes a step further in the next halacha. Lefichach, therefore, lo kiblu beis din gerim kol yimei David u'Shlomo. During the times that Israel were in a very positive situations, like the time of David and Shlomo, where they were world powers, they stopped accepting converts. Because why were people converting? They were doing because they wanted to be immigrants into this wealthy nation. Right? Be made David Shema min apachachal be Shlomo Shem Mishu Hamalchus Vatova Vagadula Shove Yisrael Chazu. Because there were many non-good reasons to become Jewish in those days. So therefore they shut it down. However, he says, Afal Pichin, how you get Gerim Harbe Miskarim be made David Shlomo. Even though the Basin wasn't accepting converts, there were still plenty of people converting. How did that happen? If they had Yotos, they were unqualified Bezins that were doing it. So what happened to these people, right? The main Bezin says we're not going to accept people. But in the meantime, these other Bezins pop up, and they are accepting Gerim. So what is the status of these people who converted for the wrong reasons under a less than ideal Bezin? So what they said they would do is they would sit back and they would wait. If they saw these people actually went to Minyan, put on tefillin, kept kosher, kept Shabbos, then it's okay. They're Jewish. If they realize that the whole thing was a joke, right? If they went and they went to McDonald's and they never gave money at all to the UJA, then for sure they were. And then if from time to time they paid retail, we realized that they were obviously not Jewish. They would go to the kitchen, they would drink, and they wouldn't eat. They're not Jews. We could figure that out right away. That's what they used to do. So, getting back to our next halacha, Lefisha Gir Shlomo Nashim Minasam, Vechain Shimshon Gir Vinasa. Says, what happened? He said that all these women that Shlomo married, or in our case, Shimshon married, he converted them first.
Through
Temple Micah. Temple Micah, you know, they played the guitar, they'd eat two blintzes, and they were Jewish. That was
there
it.
You go. They didn't even do that.
Well, she is the rabbi of Temple Micah, you understand.
I'm sorry. My parents were charter members.
So he said, so these people converted, but not for the best of reasons. It wasn't that all of a sudden they found God. So he said that obviously this shouldn't have been done, right? So technically, perhaps he could have married them, but in fact, they converted beforehand. Now, so that answers a little bit of the question. Okay, he didn't marry a non-Jewish woman, he married a convert. But the conversion was what we would call generously a sug bet.
What is that?
What?
Second class.
Second class, as we would say.
We like to go first.
Right. Only the best. So that was that, but that still doesn't really make me feel much better. Because at the end of the day, what do we have here? We have Shimshon taking a non-Jewish woman, goes through some hokey-pokey conversion.
Yeah, but this wasn't the time of Shlomo and David HaMelech.
No, but it was. But
so if somebody wanted to convert.
Correct, you know, but they were
more likely.
But let's say, you know, the reason they were converting is because they wanted to marry a nice Jewish boy. So it would seem in that case that a qualified Beis Din would not take on such a case. And therefore, you know, and again, you don't really, you probably, if I'm sitting in the Beis Din and some girl walks in and she says, you know, I was in a secular college and I met this nice guy, Guido Sarducci, and we'd like to get married, so he's converting. I'm not going to think so highly of her, I don't think. You know, I'll see what's best for Klal Yisrael in this case, but to say, wait, you were dating who? What? Now I'm supposed to clean up after you? That's kind of what it comes down to. So, you know, you don't expect that from Shimshon either. So the Radak is the first source to do, which actually deals flat on with that. He says, even if they converted, so what? Yesh letmoa, heich misha tziv alav habore yisparach liyos kudushoso min abetem. Here we have somebody who God said to him that you have to be holy before you're in utero. You have to be holy before you're even born. Ech nitna b'mos ha-plishtin. How would he end up like this? V'nira v'zeh ki anoshim asher lokach b'timno v'azo v'nachasore gir osam v'yeshivim l'das Yisrael. So let's say all these women, he in fact, he converted them. Great. Ki chavira b'shov v'yishol moshim v'schatim b'plishtin v'over alav los t'schatim b'am. Asher Chomer Ma'od. Said, of course, the guy, let's say, okay, he didn't marry a non-Jewish woman. That's a terrible avera. I get it. But still, right, the question is, he said, why would he do it anyhow? He says, V'afa pikin siva hoysa me'eis Hashem wa'kachas isha mi'plishtim li'hinokim bahem. So this was all God wanted it as part of the bigger plan. As we'll see, that these relationships that he has with the Plishtim become reasons for the Jews, for Shimshon to attack the Plishtim, and eventually that leads to their victory.
Why do you assume he had other relationships?
Because we'll see them in the next prakim.
Right. So why was he punished for that?
Right? This is not Delilah we're up to yet.
Right. Right. Why was he punished for that?
Oh, so that's an excellent question. Hold that question.
That is
right? Because right now we're stuck. On the one hand, you wouldn't expect him to do such a bad avera, but the other hand, if it wasn't avera, so why is he being punished for it? Right? Why are we seeing him as some sort of lower class?
Universal question.
Right. So somehow. So the first approach is the Radak, and the Radak says that he says that in fact what he did was for good reasons, and in fact it was supported by God, as the pasuk says. However, beyond that, if you go to the end, he says, now in the event that you're doing this, it has to be done 100% for the right reasons. Right? It has to be done 100% because you want, you know, this, God wills it. As soon as he says, you know what, this ain't so bad, that's where he goes wrong. So skipping to four lines from the bottom, nearly betchila ha'isa kavaras l'tova. At the beginning, his intentions were all good. Levakish to'anu miplishtim, to start off with the plishtim. Achakat grover of lahatayva birosa osav yasha be'ino, the hifsid kavanasal halakis. Afterwards, when he saw the young lady and he became interested, it wasn't so lishma anymore. Right, they said, "Bekavana gufanis habehemis hashes havraba." Suddenly, his desires, animal desires, got involved as well.
An interesting twist on an aged principle. Lo lishma ba lishma.
Lishma ba lo lishma.
What is that?
It's funny when that this is an ongoing issue in YU whether we have to have shir for credit. So people say it would be better to have a lishma, that we shouldn't have to take tests. So Rabbi Michal Schwidman famously said, "Mito shelo lishma, ba."
Which means
that for the short of it is, it gets them to come to class. Yes.
Rabbi, if this wasn't God's will, he could have just had her as, or why didn't he keep her as a concubine or living together for a meaningful relationship?
So again, it's interesting. It's interesting. I'm thinking. So Tuesday is the time I begin to think about Thursday already.
Okay.
And Thursday is the Parsha Shir, and I've been thinking about, being that this is the week of Pinchas.
Uh-huh.
So the topic of intermarriage would not be. Didn't you just have that? It's deja vu all over again. You get the week off. So I was thinking about discussing the topic. That's definitely one of the finalists. We'll have to see what food they're serving.
But I mean, Shimshon could have just...
No,
he could have just married a Jewish woman, but had her as a concubine.
No, we don't allow that really so much.
That?
No, we didn't. No. We don't. We won't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. Right, so he said, so that's where he went wrong. All of a sudden, he said, if you're going to be doing something like this, it has to be for all the proper reasons. And when he lost that, that's when he was punished. So that is the idea behind it. The Abar ben El follows the same general idea, number 8. By Yer Shimshon Tinasa Matsadu Pamim Rabos Visipure Naviim Shayu Osim Pamim Dvarim Shalo Kedas. There's many times that we see in the Navi where the Navi does something which does not seem to be religiously appropriate, in order that the right thing should turn out in the end. So what else do we have besides this? The story of Eliyahu on Har Carmel, where he goes and he offers a sacrifice, right, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, right, that's another place where that the act itself taken in a vacuum as a sin. However, being a Navi, he had a right to do it for the greater good. So he says that's the same thing. He did something wrong. That was the idea there behind him. Interestingly, so again, this becomes an important idea. The Ultimi Slabodka, in his Chacham Moser, says that this is an idea that we have to know, that there are certain times where it becomes very important that not just the action should be right, but the intention should be right as well. He says, "Biyarnu beparshas Naso," this is the Haftarah for it, "Deipir sharadak, Shimshish Nisra Bibsoras Hashem Oshisu Al Khaliswab Hoya Shofit, Hayitachin Shiika Plishtis. Can you imagine that someone of this stature would go say, I want to marry this Philistine woman? Bivadi Gira Vasa Zos Lamanucha Oshia Israel, Ayin Sham. He said, obviously he converted her, he did it for the right reasons. And even he lost it. At some point, he lost the good intentions, and with that, it was over. So this is probably the major approach to this. The idea that being that when he was meant to do this, this was God's will that he do this. But in order for him to do this, it was necessary for him to keep the proper intention throughout, which is not easy. And ultimately, that's where he failed.
View for me again, because I haven't got it. Where was his good intention?
Right, his good intention was that, as we will see, these relationships are all a setup for him to kill the Philistines.
I see.
Right. Okay. Correct.
Right, by being with their women.
The opposite, because if they know that she's converted, they might actually...
Right, but they probably thought as much about the conversion as she did, if I had to guess.
And of course, the irony is that they use it to get close to him and wreck him. I mean, in the end,
right,
so, at least do serious damage
to him. So we will discuss it as we go.
But you're saying that this was an intention for him.
Right. Right, and in fact, if you like, this isn't just some midrashic idea. You look at the pasuk; it said it, right? Right, that this was God's will. This is from God. Right, so again, very much sounding like this is a positive at this point.
I get that, but I'm still back with Shimshon. Does he, in other words, this is what God wants me to do? In other words, he's got that in his.
Correct.
Okay.
That is the idea. The Ben Ish Chai in the Sefer Benayahu Ben Yehoyada has a little bit of a twist on it. It's not really my speed, but just for completeness, I give it to you. So he says, same question we've been asking. Kasha, Eich Shimshon Shaya Gadol Hadar V'Haya Gilgal Nadav Ben Aaron HaKohen Olav HaShalom. But you didn't know that. He's a reincarnation of Nadav. Okay. Yikasha B'Kach Lelech Acha Yishrus Einav Risa Bas Ke'el Nechar. How would he just go follow his Yetzirah and marry a non-Jewish woman? Gan Omru Kime Hashemhu. Not only that, but the Navi seems to support it. Ech Yerotza Beis Hashem Shivo Baske El Nechar. V'im Kedei Rezgar Shwishon L'tov Esso Yayidei Siva Acheras Raman Nasa Sasiva Ofen Zer Shehu Meguna Ma'od. He said, there's no other way you could have gotten close. Why didn't he like take up weightlifting and hang out in their gyms? Right? Wouldn't that have been...
Or sauna.
Right, because it's sort of like, oh.
Marriage was always, even in ancient times, considered a way of consolidating two groups, two governments, two kingdoms.
Right, but he's not marrying the princess here.
Yeah, true.
Right. So the Ben Yehoyada gives a Kabbalistic idea, which don't ask so many questions because I don't understand it. He said, "Near the Matzina b'Diva and Mukubalim Zal Shehivi Hagon Chida b'Chomas Anach b'Inyan Shlomo Anelach Avosham Ech Ora Liba Lisa Nashim Nachris." Obviously, Shlomo is the other case that we're always going to be looking at. One Kavasa Yekadei Levara Nitzotze Kedusha Asher BeUmos HaHeim. There is a Kabbalistic idea. This is very to Chassidus that there are sparks of holiness that are spread throughout the world. And it is our job to go around the world and collect these sparks. So he said that there were certain sparks of holiness in the Plishtim, and this was the way of getting those sparks. Mimala de Nitzotzos HaKadusha. And that's why he had to do it. Those are the words. I don't know what it means. So again, a simple... What? All right, good. Well, I don't know what sparks are. I don't know what it means to gather them. I don't know.
They're everywhere.
Right, it's like fireflies. You're supposed to get them in a jar. I don't know. That's something like that. Right, there you have it. Don't know what that means either. But I can say all the words. No problem.
It's one of the same reasons they justify studying science and physics.
This is a little bit, you know, it's the one thing to say science, study physics, sleep with non-Jewish woman. You know, it just kind of doesn't flow for me. I'll be honest with you. I lose it someplace there. But again, just because it's beyond me doesn't mean that it's not right. The Michta Meliyahu of Eliyahu Dessler is a very long piece on this. I give you a little bit. He says something very fascinating. I'll just say it outside. He says, one of the amazing things here is he says, this job, to have a young man like Shimshon live with a non-Jewish woman, and for it to be totally for the right reasons, is a very, very difficult thing to do. That's for sure. He said that is why, in fact, it was necessary for him to be a Nazir prior to birth. So he offers the following approach. He says, because he was a Nazir before he was born, he never got a Yetzer Hara. That Shimshon was born without an evil inclination. And because, what? Frank Smear? Right? So he said, if God, I think, yeah, in 100% of the cases where God told you that the child should be a Nazir, right, though all 100% of those cases, according to this, right, the kid was born without a Yetzer Hara. Without exception. Who says it hasn't? So, yeah, maybe you should listen more. But, so he adds that, the idea that the only way, again, don't think like, oh, you know, the guy slipped up. No, anybody would have slipped up here, right? The only reason we had a chance that this would work is because he was conditioned for this test prior to birth. But despite that, he slipped up, right? This is why, again, that's why when Yaakov Avinu, he explains, saw Shimshon, who was this tremendous leader who did not even have a Yetzer Hara, said, oh, there's a Mashiach for you. But it didn't work. At the end of the day, even that didn't work. Okay, so that's the story that he announces that he wants to marry a non-Jewish woman. His parents try to talk him out of it unsuccessfully. Okay, hey. Vayered Shimshon va'aviv v'imo timnasa v'yavo ad karmei timnasa v'inei kfir arayel shaleg l'kvaso. So Shimshon and his mom and his dad go down to Timnah, and as they're passing through the vineyards, there is a lion there to greet him. Now, this pasuk's a little strange. Vayavo'u. Vayavo. Singular or plural? Plural. Then, last word. Likraso. Singular.
Likraso is the lion.
No. Hinei kfir arayo shoeg likraso. The lion are greeting him. Right? So what happened in this pasuk? Originally it seems that there are multiple people. Right. Now all of a sudden there's only one.
Well, the lion's greeting only one of them.
The lion hates the parents.
Thank you for that happy thought, Ted.
Always a happy ending.
That's right. So the it's interesting. So where are they meeting the lion? Well, again, what the vineyards of Timnah. So interesting. The Malbim says that's the trick. He said, "Halo halach imavi v'imo biyachad, ve'ech pago ba'akfir ve'yosel levado." He said, how could it be that his parents, and his parents don't know about this? So he said, the answer is as follows. What do we know about Shimshon?
He shouldn't be in a vineyard.
He shouldn't be in a vineyard, right? So again, his parents walked through the vineyard. He had to walk around on his own.
Right. Why would they walk through the vineyard?
Because he was a Nazir. Nazir should avoid vineyards.
Right?
So he says, so that's what happened here, that they reached the vineyard. The parents said, okay, you take the high road, we'll take the low road, and we'll be in Timnah before you. So, because of that, that's how he ends up on his own.
But one was an alien, one was a Yerida.
One took the high road, one took the low road.
So that's the explanation we go with?
Yeah. Interesting. ותצלח רב רוח אדוני וישעשהו כשעשה הגדים ומאומה אין בידיו והגיד לו בברימו איש אשר עשה. With his bare hands he rips the lion apart, just like you would rip a sheep apart. I don't know how to
rip
it.
Rip a sheep apart.
What? There you have it. It reminds me of the very great line from Johnny Carson of Karnak the Great. People remember Karnak the Great?
Yeah,
right? So he had a class where he picked it up and he said, Sis Boom Ba. Opens up the envelope. What sound does it make when you put a stick of dynamite in a sheep?
Interesting that you'd remember that one.
That's just saw it 15 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
So, right. So, whatever. The bottom line is, we'll keep the sheep to the side right now, at least whatever's left of him, and we'll focus here on the idea that he tears apart the lion, and no one knows about it. So they go down and they meet the young lady, and he's happy with the decision. After on his way, he says, okay, they make an agreement, they have a wedding date, etc. He walks back and he finds the hide of the lion, and there is a pool of honey in the lion.
Do we have any sense of time on this, like a day or 3 days, or we don't have?
What? Again, enough time to negotiate a wedding. That's all what I have. Vayirdehu al kapav, vayirach alach va'achal, vayirach aravi ve'ima v'itanhem v'yocheru, v'lohigirahem ki v'yimigvias hayer rada advash. He takes a handful, he's eating it, meets his parents again, gives them some honey. Doesn't tell them the source of said honey. Vayirid aviyu ves el ha'isha vayasham shimsham mishter ki ken yasu abachorim. So now they're getting married and he's having a little bit of a bachelor party. Vayikiro sam osal v'ichu shloshim me'ireim vayu ito. So now all of a sudden he has 30 grooms, what are they called? Bridesmaids and groomsmen, yes. And they're celebrating with
him.
These
are Philistines?
Yes, these are Philistines. I'm going to tell you a riddle. I'm going to give you 7 days to figure it out. If you figure out the riddle, I will give you 30 sheets and 30... sets of clothing, meaning one for the each of you. V'imrosu chura gidri, v'nesatem atem li shroshem sedinim o shroshem chalifos begadim, v'yomarom chura chidos rav nishma'ena. So if not, you each give me one. They say, okay, go for it. V'yomarom me ha'ochal yatsa machal, u'me'az yatsa masok, v'yachura gidra chidos shroshes yamim. So, he says to them, from that which eats comes out that which is eaten. And for that which is strong comes out sweet. Marsha, what is it? Gets it on the first guess.
I don't know.
Well, I didn't think
of it.
Is that your final answer?
2 years in a row.
So.
I don't think that's still on our mind.
That's right. What are we serving Thursday night?
I hope it's honey.
We can only hope baklava.
Yeah.
Honey.
Right.
From the lion.
Right. Lion burgers and honey. So. Obviously, what he's referring to is that from the lion comes the honey. That's what he's going through. It's there's a lot to talk about this.
Wait,
in terms
of... What, from the lion comes
what?
The honey because why? Because
when he...
The lion carcass now had a bee hive. There's honey in it.
Yeah.
So he was eating the honey and serving the honey to his parents and to his guests
but
at the bachelor party.
This riddle is kind of random. Who would know this?
Right.
Right.
It's
a very personal riddle, and even his parents don't know about it.
Correct. Correct. So
what's the point?
That's what my question is. Why would
the answer?
The lion.
Baklava.
Okay. Why would the carcass of the lion get a?
It did. So again, this is.
That's the bee.
I know, but why?
That's
what's the point?
So he gives this impossible riddle that no one's going to come up with, right?
Okay.
Not even fair.
Not
right. So here it is. 3 days have passed, and they haven't a clue what the man's talking about. Vayhi vayom hashvi, vayom ura eish yashimshon, pati as ishech v'yageid ronu as achida, penisrof osach v'as beis avich v'eish, hara yorshenu krasam ronu haro. So here it is already on the seventh day, and they say to Mrs. Shimshon, either you give us the answer, or we're going to burn down your father's house. Because you got us into this stupid wedding party, and now if you don't help us out of it, right? Right now we're literally going to lose our shirts over this. So what does Mrs. Shimshon do? Vatef Eisha Shimshon Olav Vatomer Raks Neisani Vo Haftani Achida Chadeta Rivnei Ami V'Riyat Lor Higadeta V'Yomla Hinei Rabbi V'Rima Lor Gati Lor Chagid. So she says to him, you hate me, you don't really love me, right? You told this riddle, and you're not going to tell me what the answer is. And he says, I didn't tell my mom, I didn't tell my dad, I'm sure it's right not telling you. So, Vatev kol rov shiva sayomim, asher hayo lahem amishta, vayhi vayom hashvii vayagil lo ki heitzaktuhu vateger achidu rivnei ama. Finally, on the seventh day, after she's mitchering him, bothering him, annoying him, just scratching him, whining, right, over and over and over and over again. He says, fine, genugshein. That's how you say that in Philistine, right? And with that, he tells her, and she, of course, tells them. So, Vayomu lo anshe ha'ir bayom hashvi, b'terem yavo ha'charsa, ma masok midvash u'me'az me'ari. So they say, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said, had you not plowed with my ox, he would have never figured that out. Well, whatever. She did so. So, what does he do? So with that he goes out into the streets of Ashkelon, kills 30 men, takes their clothing, he says, here's what I owe you. And with that he packs up and he goes home. And once he walked out, she went and she married somebody else. Now.
The whole thing is just a clusterfuck.
Mm-hmm. So, a few things here. One is, so right now he killed 30 Plishtim. And someone on the outside would say that, in fact, he was right. Right? You know, if I was another Plishti, say, well, he got cheated. Right, so this is how he reacted. So he was able to set up a way where he was able to kill 30 Plishtim here, and no one bothered him. Next, as we'll see, the fact that his wife goes and marries someone else, that's going to give him another excuse to come back and get even a little bit. A few things that we learn from here. The Pirkei of the Rebbe Elazar says something amazing. He said, where do we learn Sheva Brachas from? What?
In the 7 days of this party.
So again, it says, Shivis me'a mishtya mi'mi anu lamedim. How do you know that you have Sheva Brachas after you get married? Mishimshan nazir alokim sh'yar le'eretz plishtim v'lakachu isha v'asa shivis me'a mishtya v'simcha. How do you like this? This is the source for Sheva Brachas.
Can you translate that for me?
What's that?
What you just read.
It says, where do you learn Sheva Brachas from? It says, from this case, when Shimsha marries the Plishti woman, then they go out and they have a 7-day party. This was, and again, did it lead to a happy marriage?
Not at all.
Not so much. Not so much.
But Rabbi,
it lasted a month.
What?
Rabbi, it's interesting that they have Sheva Brachas from Shimshon marrying a non-Jewish woman.
Right, so this would seem to be a strong support of the idea that she converted. That's it. Gambling, is that allowed? So you look at the Shulchan Aruch, he says, Mesh Misha Omer Shemesachik Bekubi, if someone plays dice. Im Obed of Kochavim Ein Bo Mishum Gezel. That's not considered stealing. You're allowed to gamble with non Jews. Worth none.
Are you allowed to steal from Jews?
No. Again, so this isn't stealing, this is gambling.
The whole issue of gambling is that you're stealing, because the person would never.
Again, the halachos of Asmachta don't apply here.
What?
Because the idea being that in general, the reason that gambling is problematic is both sides think they're going to win. Mm-hmm. So when one of the sides ultimately loses, they don't give it over with a true heart. So that's considered a form of gezel. Right? Perhaps we will discuss that on a Monday night when we discuss things like the stock market, whether that's the same or different. Sure. We love Sheva Brachas.
Why do we have Sheva Brachas because of Shimshon with these Philistines? I don't understand. Why does that become a custom for us?
A little odd, isn't it?
Very odd.
Right. Again, this is a minority opinion, I will note.
Okay. Is there anywhere else that somebody gives a 7-day party after a wedding?
Right. That would seem to, huh? Right, it's true. That predates Shimshon.
Thank you.
Right. I'll just say on the record that, you know, right now, the first time we're living in an empty house, we have to collect. So I went to Seamus to get some benches for Friday night. So we have a beautiful set of Ivan and June Goldstein's 60th anniversary in Jerusalem. We've been using them the whole summer. Looks like they've never been used beforehand. In Jerusalem, 2008. Yeah, we're on it. Now you know where it is if you're looking for them. I figured that's how they end up in Seamus. Right. So that, and even that wasn't before the time of Shimshon. That's my point.
So we really do have a precedent. Like
we have other precedents, right. Yeah, there are other ideas. Now, here's a real problem that I wanted to end with is how many days did they have for the riddle? How many days was he given?
7 days.
Right, they could, after on the seventh day they went there, and then she nagged for 7 days.
So we're now to 10 days.
They should have lost.
Right, shouldn't they have lost? What is going on here?
Time ran out.
Right, time ran out. How does this work? So again, the numbers really don't work here at all. So let's take a look. The Radak in number 15 says, "Vayom HaShvi'i was the seventh day." It says, not the seventh day of Sheva Brachas. That's Yom Shabbos Haya, which is Yom Revi'i L'mei HaChuppah. That was only the when it says, and it was on the seventh day, it wasn't the seventh day of the Sheva Brachas, it was the seventh day of the week. Because they got married on a Wednesday. Right? The Mishnah tells us you're supposed to get married on Wednesdays. Now Shabbos, by Shabbos they were still having a hard time. So that was only the fourth day. You still had a few days to go. And then when it says she cried for 7 days, it doesn't mean she cried for 7 days. It means she cried for the rest of Sheva Brachas. They got married on Wednesday, right? They approached her on Shabbos. And then on through Tuesday, she nagged and nagged and nagged. It just seemed forever.
It seemed like 7 days.
Right, it seemed... David Ezra similarly says, "Vayhi bayom hashvi'i tachas harevi'i." Same idea. Abar Benel has a different approach. Benoch Masha Kosev b'Sefer HaDikduk, He said when he asked him the riddle, it wasn't at the wedding, but it was a week before the Sheva Brachas, before the wedding. So really there were 2 weeks. So again, what happened was he gives him the riddle. At the end of the 7 days, meaning by the wedding, they put pressure on her, and then she nagged for the entire Sheva Brachas, and that's when it was due. The bachelor party was a week before, and then he had till the end of Sheva Brachas. That was the other way of doing it.
It's no longer an indication.
So,
why do we care about this?
What?
Why do we care about this?
Because this was his excuse to kill 30 people. That was the relevant part to us. Okay, so that's the end of this parak. There's obviously more to go here, but now we're getting an idea that here Shimshon is hanging out with these Plishtim, and the majority opinion that we've seen is he's doing it for the right reasons, but he's going to have a very hard time keeping it always the right reasons. And we'll see that going forward.
Well, again, so far he doesn't sound like much of a judge. I mean, was he actually a shofet at that time?
Well, I mean, when we refer to shoftim, it doesn't ever mean judges, right? Was Yiftach a judge? Was Gidon a judge?
I wasn't here for that one.
I'll give you a hint. No.
But he's intermarrying, yeah. He's killing people. We all think this is for the good?
Well, he's killing the right people. He's killing the bad guys. I think that's good. All right, to be continued.